Wow. Did you just hit play on this episode because you wanted to hear how I got fired, quit, laid off, and changed careers? You're so mean. I'm just kidding. I'm sure you probably opened this episode because maybe you're going through a hard time right now, or maybe you've been through a hard time before and you want to hear some real talk from someone that not just survived it, but thrived it. And from all of these experiences I listed in the podcast episode title that happened to me, there was one thing in common for all those experiences. I remember starfishing on the floor, crying, feeling like I was a failure. Yet now I realize all those failures has actually made me the human I am today, recording this episode. And yes, despite all these amazing awards and accolades, it's my relatability as a human that's allowed me to connect with others, whether it's loved ones, friends, and even clients. And in this podcast episode, I'm actually being interviewed by Lisa Gillette, the host of Grace, Grit, and Getting It Done. So I'm excited for you to hear me in this hot seat. And before we hit play, be sure to please hit that follow button. All right, let's drop the beat.
Hey, I'm Elaine Lucartas. I'm a business and career coach for women of color and allies. LA Weekly awarded me the number one thought leader, and Apple News named me one of the top five business coaches. Done doing the most as a woman of color or ally? And you want to create your own definition of success and happiness? Well, grab your coffee, tea, or boba, and let's do some business and career real talk.
What does it take to be a true leader? What are the critical skills, qualities, the mindset needed to become a transformational leader? And how can women leaders, particularly women of color, address the unique challenges of systemic gender bias and racial discrimination they will inevitably face as they advance in their careers? How can they step into a role of higher leadership without sacrificing their well-being? Fortunately for us, my guest today has the answers to these questions. Elaine Lucartas helps heart-led, high-performing women leaders create a legacy defined by their own terms. Elaine has supported over 500 women leaders in 24 countries, coaching them to create an aligned, purposeful legacy in their professional and their personal lives. Elaine's high-level leadership coaching skills have also led to significant financial success for her clients, including multi-six and seven-figure corporate incomes. Elaine has been featured in Forbes, Digital Marketer, Money, Business Insider, and HuffPost, to name just a few. Apple News recognized Elaine as one of the top five business coaches. LA Weekly named her a number one thought leader. MSN awarded her the title of Best Leadership and Executive Coach. Elaine is also a LinkedIn learning instructor. Her course is called Using AI to Make a Career Switch. And she's got a second course on the way, Identity Crisis, How to Realign Your Career with Your Life. Elaine, you are a rock star, and I want to personally thank you for all you're doing to empower women leaders of color and helping them advance in their careers all the way into the C-suite. Elaine, welcome.
Thank you so much. Also, for those that listen to that incredible bio that are just like, oh my gosh, this woman. I just want to remind people that I have failed. So I've also been fired 3 times. I've quit twice. I've left a job with no savings. So just know that I have had my fair share of beautiful mistakes.
I love that, because before we get into the questions, I just want to throw out one question: growth mindset, because you so embody it.
It's
a mistake, but you know, it's taking a situation where you go, wow, that didn't really turn out the way I thought it would, and then making it a triumph. I mean, just talk to me about your mindset, please.
Oh, gosh. A lot of therapy? coaching. I mean, it was interesting. I was doing another interview with another podcast host. He was like, what made you, same question. I was like, do you like anxiety? Let me ask you that, Lisa. Do you like anxiety?
Oh, anxiety is my middle name, but no, I hate it.
I don't like anxiety. So how I solve that problem is asking for help. I mean, mind you, I get it. Sometimes for some people, coaching and therapy is like, I don't know what this is. I'm scared of it. So finding one or two people that you feel safe enough to share with. And at times in my career, shout out to my former boss, Bobby Abrams. She was the person I was able to go to. And then sometimes you notice you're just tired of hearing your own bullshit over and over again as you talk to your friends going through happy hour, which has happened to me. I'm like, you know what? I can be a better friend by not talking about my problems all the time and not doing anything about it and just hiring a coach or hiring a therapist to heal this shit and figure out what to do. Because I was catching myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, I sound like that friend that I go to happy hour all the time and they keep complaining about their boyfriend who clearly they needed to break up with, except I am that friend now talking about my job that I hate.
Oh, we're always hardest on ourselves, right? And we are going to talk about that because, you know, that for women, this is a big issue. We're always hardest on ourselves. But I want to kind of come back to the big question. And we've talked about this. Why is there such a lack of diversity in senior leadership, especially with women of color?
Yeah. So, what do you think? Well, it's not just think. I actually have research on it. So,
yes. Thank you.
So I was just interviewed by Huffington Post. There was a recent article and research done in partnership with McKinsey & Company, as well as Lean In, which is Sheryl Sandberg's nonprofit that helps women move up in C-suite and leadership. And for every 100 men promoted to manager, there is only 87 women who get promoted and less for women of color. And it's because of unconscious bias and performance bias. It's not because women are not asking. Oh, we are asking. It's just the unfortunate thing is that for companies or people in leadership, when they see men are assessed based off of what they could do in the future, and women are based off of what they've done in the past. Exactly. So what is really great is if you're listening to this and you're like, Elaine, I have been asking you, show them this study by McKinsey, which is a very well-known management consulting firm. Like, hey, it seems like you might be part of this. You might be part of this problem of performance bias.
Right.
That you're assessing men based off of what they could do in the future and not for women. What are we going to do about this to change?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's really tough when you look around and you see everybody in the C-suite is either named Bob, Dick, John, or Mike. They happen to be Caucasian. They happen to be between the ages of, say, 35 to 55. So if you're a woman and you're a woman of color and you even get near the C-suite, you know, in order to be there, you are really good at your job. Because you didn't get there by, hey, let's go play golf, or hey, I really like you, let's go have a beer. You got as far as you got because you are super confident. So when you look at women of color who are in senior leadership, you know, not only are they determined, not only are they incredibly competent, not only are they probably very empathetic, they're probably also suffering some burnout.
They are. And they've had to do more to get there because of that unconscious bias, right? Like possibly going to an Ivy League, spending $100,000 to do an MBA, being part of a top firm management consultant, like literally doing the check marks. And what's unfortunate, so often when I meet clients that get to that level, they sit at that table, they see their colleagues like, what the hell? Like they don't even have these check marks and not even understanding the possible value that they could provide when they speak up. You know, how often have we unfortunately been in those tables where as a woman, you say something, then Dick, literally as being a dick, says the same thing. Dick, that is such a great idea.
Right.
And then what I remind my clients to do, I'm like, Dick, I'm so glad that you reiterated the idea that I shared 5 minutes ago and it made sense to everyone here. Was there anything, can all of you help me understand why when Dick shared that, was there talking points that I didn't share that you didn't hear clearly?
Oh, no, no, you said it. I was like, well, why don't we have a conscious conversation of how there might have been some unconscious bias?
Right.
I do not mind having these conversations.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, we have the tools to teach all of us how to have that conversation so that you're seen, heard, and understood as a woman.
Yes. You
may be looked upon as a leader because female, not Caucasian, you know, the list goes on. So if you were going to just give some really like boots on the ground advice to a woman who said, you know, I really feel called to leadership. I know I can do a better job. I know the world is in dire straits right now. We need greater diversity in senior management. We need greater perspectives, wider perspectives. We need more voices. What are some things you would tell to a woman, specifically a woman of color? Okay, here are some challenges. Here are some ways you can navigate around them. Just really zero, ground zero advice.
Yeah, well, and a follow-up clarity question is that if they want to be a leader within their organization or in general or both.
Good. I love that. So let's say they want to climb the corporate ladder. And then I want you to come back and answer, no, they want to really be a leader, be a role model for women coming after them. Let's start with climbing the corporate ladder and then let's go into the truth of transformational leadership.
Well, if you want to be a leader, right? And let's say you're within your company and you want to get to that place as a woman of color, first is, well, let's see, asking yourself the hard question, one, and then two, doing some research on it is, are you in an organization that could help propel you to that? So how did you figure that out? Okay. Well, one is, do you feel safe? Like, do you psychologically feel safe to have a direct conversation with your supervisor or other leaders? I mean, before doing anything, before having a conversation, to ask yourself that question. If you feel in your body like, no, I don't feel safe, then I'm sorry to be direct with you, but it's not going to be that company or organization. Now, if you do feel safe, like if there is a boss that you feel safe enough to have a conversation, if you do see in leadership, and so often it's like bullshit. A lot of companies are always like, oh my gosh, look at us. We're a Fortune 10 company and we're so diverse. Okay, well, that's in rank and file. I want to see C-suite.
Exactly.
I want to see the leaders. So looking at leaders, C-suites, if there are also people of color there, then you know you're safe. And then you could have the conversation with the closest direct line of leader that you do work with and asking like, hey, I would love to get your feedback. I really want to move up in leadership. I could see myself doing ABC. What's your feedback for me? Can we create a roadmap to do this? And if they're open to having that conversation, that's great. If they may say something like, there's budget cuts, I don't know, things are happening, I know that may not feel good, but at least you know. I call it like the define the relationship, the DTR. You know, when you're dating someone, you're like, what are we? Well, at least they're having it. They're not going to fire you if you're having this conversation. And if they do, go find an employment lawyer, because it has nothing to do with your performance in your company. So having that conversation, if they say no, then you could start looking elsewhere. So what happens if it may not be a safe company that you want to continue to be a leader in? One or two, what happens if they start making excuses because of budget cuts or this is just the way things are culturally? Well, then you could start asking yourself and looking at other companies and looking at their org chart, seeing what people are in their org charts, if there is diversity in there. And that's like starting it.
Got it. Yeah. Do you fit the role model of who they're promoting? And then the next question is, do you want to fit the role model? Which brings me to my next question to you. You coach around a lot the topic of having an identity crisis in your career. That, I think, is so true for so many women, and yet we don't really acknowledge that. Can you talk about that phenomena and how you coach around that? Because it really does exist, but many of us don't even really think of, we always consider, oh, the problem must be me, not my environment. Talk about identity crisis in one's
life. I don't know if we have all day to talk about this. Well, before the phenomena, I just want to remind people what society and culture has taught us as women of what to be, right? So women, we are the supporting actress. We are there for our family emotionally, which tends to be the caregiver, the family for our aging parents, women, who do our kids go to when they need emotional support? Their moms. And for women, I just want to remind people, because I know I work with clients who have challenges when it comes to money. Like, I don't, it's hard for me to ask more. And it doesn't even mean ask more in terms of your salary, but even asking more in terms of a project that you're working on, or even putting boundaries together. But women weren't allowed to have their own bank accounts until the 1970s. And then prior to that, we needed a man to co-sign with us. The 1970s is not that far away. That is what, 50 years ago. That's not far away. So women making money is actually a revolutionary thing. And the concept of then putting ourselves first is also new. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but just in society and culture, what was taught for us. And because we're thankfully, or at least in this country, we have this right and privilege to work, and we live in a capitalistic society of constant doing and being measured by productivity, we're just doing to do the next thing. Then you get to this stage of like, wait, what is my life? What am I doing? Why am I constantly doing? Who am I proving this to? And then the question of what the hell do I want? Like, who am I? What am I? What do I want? Do I really want to have this next title? Hold on. I'm seeing everyone, like I'm seeing my quote unquote ladder. I'm seeing how their personal lives look like. It's shit. They don't see their husband or wife. They don't see their kids. I don't want that. That's what I mean. Like, so in terms of answering the question of identity crisis, it's then realizing that you've been in this constant doing in your job, doing in being the best wife, best mother, partner, spouse, daughter, son, that, wait, what do I want? And then realizing, wait, I need to honor my voice.
I think that's so true, that we are brought up to be helpmates. And this is the holdback when we get into positions of authority in corporate. We're looked upon as, well, you can help, but you can't have the primary seat. You might have a seat at the table, but it's not going to be at the head of the table. Let me ask you this. I know many women, especially as they get into the leadership roles, they go, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to go out and I'm going to start my own business. How would you coach them for any woman who's like, it's got to be better. I'm going to start my own business. What are some of the questions you would ask them?
Well, before even like asking this, like wanting to start a business, right? It's just actually asking yourself these questions. So pen and paper, take it out. Or if you are driving, quickly look at the timestamp and then listen to it again so you can take notes when you get home. Well, what do you want out of your life? Like in general, and also honor the stage of life you are in. I mean, I hear so often we compare ourselves like, oh my gosh, if I was just in my 20s. Actually, I'm so glad I'm not in my 20s. I am so glad my body is telling me that I am tired and I can't be in front of a screen for X hours and I can't do all the things. So what do you see your life as? Is that making sure you're clocking out at 5? Like making sure you actually have weekends, not responding to emails? Like what does your holistic life look like? And then asking, does your job support that? Like realistically, can your job support that? Is this the job company culture problem? Or like what is in your control? Or do you have control over creating boundaries because you haven't been able to enforce that?
I think that's really brilliant. The deep dive.
Yeah.
I want to share with our listeners that Elaine has a podcast. I want everybody who's listening to this podcast. Her podcast is called WOC and Allies Business and Career Real Talk. And you can also find her on LinkedIn. You can take her courses, which I mentioned in my open, but it's Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, Lou, L-O-U, Cartas, C-A-R-T-A-S. Find her on LinkedIn, follow her, listen to her podcast. Elaine, you're just like, you're resonating with me because these are my topics. I mean, I'm like, right, when you're talking about women didn't have a right to have a bank account, purchase a car, open a loan, get a home mortgage until 1974. This is wrong. But we are working to change all of that and to keep women's rights equal because women's rights are human.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Sorry. And I just have to do a plug because it's election year. Just please vote. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a great segue into what you were doing before you started coaching, because you had a very interesting career, and talk about working in a male-dominated environment. Wow. Yeah. Share your first career with all of us and how you navigated that.
I survived it. Once again, how I navigated therapists and coaches. So that's my answer. And by the way, if you're hearing this, like, I just want you to know that it's about finding the right therapist and coach for you, if that is something you do want.
You're here. Yes.
So it's not about like having to work with the best. It's like dating, finding the right person that you need to work with. But so I graduated college around the recession, so 2010. And I am from Southern California, doing this podcast episode from Los Angeles. And it was hard for me to find a job. And I was taught, I was very like heart-led, like wanting to do a service. So I worked on a state, my first job was statewide Senate race in Iowa. And I was making a staggering $500 a month. But it was actually a wonderful experience. I was an organizer. I was doing 300 calls a day, organized 157 volunteers in 6 months. So I learned rejection really quick. I learned how to build the empathy, the relationship building. And then from there, I've worked on statewide, local, national campaigns in Iowa, Indiana, and Montana, New Mexico, Massachusetts. Not just that work experience, but I understand that people complain about how expensive California is, but I feel like I'm very privileged to be from here and live in LA because it's so diverse. I didn't have similar experiences when I was in the Midwest. Even in the big cities in the Midwest, like I experienced a lot. But it was also eye-opening, and it taught me to be assertive and speak up for myself, advocate for myself. And then from there, quickly got burnt out, hired a coach, started doing informational interviews, and I landed my dream job at Patsy City College Foundation as a fundraiser, where we raised $1 million for about 200 scholarships. An amazing experience. And the reason why I left it is because this sounds cliche, but I wanted more. Like, I graduated from my master's, got my leadership and management, realized, oh shit, I've been doing what everyone's told me to do. Like,
big aha, right?
Yeah. Like, if for those that work in government, you probably understand you need to get your master's or PhD so that your little salary increases in the box. And my salary did increase the box. I'm like, wait, this wasn't much. I'm like, hold on, what if I try to do something on my own? What if I became a coach? Because I love the coaches I worked with, my career coach, but there was also no woman of color coach I was able to find. So I became a coach for women of color and allies. And yeah, actually, I was looking through my numbers, but I crossed the 700 threshold of clients that I've served today.
Awesome. Okay. So my numbers are wrong, because I had you at 500. So there's 700.
Yeah.
One thing you said that I find so interesting, and I saw it repeatedly in your story, is that you have a natural ability to motivate and inspire others. You can't have that ability and not be able to fundraise, to work. And academia, we know, is pretty rigid. But when I talk about leadership, one of the things that I always hit is that the true leader is able to motivate people to do things they didn't know how to do, and inspire people to do things they didn't believe they could do. And even though you're not using those words, that's exactly what you were doing in your career leading up to coaching. So it makes complete sense that you're now an extremely successful business owner, coach, empowering coach, and you're helping women of color to be leaders, to step into this environment, which is not always user-friendly. It's not.
Yeah.
It is not. So I just want to talk a little bit more about you and your journey. What was the biggest challenge you faced, and how did you navigate beyond it?
I don't know if it's like a challenge. I think it's an ongoing challenge in life, right? So I appreciate your compliment. I will say thank you, and I receive it. And I say that hoping that other women model it.
Hold on. I'm so straight spoken. There's no fluff here. If I say it, I say it. I'm not blowing smoke.
Yeah.
If your apertures.
And I wanted to say it because this is being recorded. Thank you. And I receive it because unfortunately, you know, like when we're like, oh, my God, I love your jacket. Thanks. It was on sale. Nordstrom Rack. Like, just say thank you.
Oh, we have to talk about that. Wait, before we even go to the ongoing challenge, we know that women are mostly not comfortable accepting compliments because we've been told, keep your head down, do your job, and you will get rewarded. And we know that is BS. So yeah. How do you coach a client around the, oh, it's nothing, or, oh, anybody could do this? How do you break that habit?
It's a hard, I mean, you know what? Educating, just like what I was explaining earlier, right? Like, women couldn't get a job. We were taught to, like, be really polite.
Where did that get us? Nowhere. Back of the row, right?
I mean, I'll just share a hilarious story, and then I'll talk. I think you asked me a question about motivation. If you can't tell, we are just having a ball with this podcast episode.
And no alcohol involved either.
No, this is completely
water. Come on.
Completely sober. I am drinking non-caffeinated tea. Not even caffeinated, non-caffeinated. There's a quote on it. But I remember when I think I was 4, right? And so this was early 90s, late 80s. And back then, I think men just normally had their shirts off when they're driving. So my dad had his shirt off, right? And you know, as a kid, you model your parents. So I take my shirt off at 4. My mom yells at me, you can't take your shirt off. Why? And you just can. And she just did not explain it to me. Now, there's beautiful, gentle parenting that's happening from our generation, which I know I unfortunately would have to explain. Oh, well, based off gender bias. So my mom never explained it to me. So I was just having a tantrum. So it's just, you know, it's just hilarious. Just you see how society and culture is in this stuff. So it's actually just say thank you and own it. Because when you have your annual review, when you're going to ask for a raise, you have to showcase what have you done in the past year. And so an action item for everybody, if you don't have this yet, I know people have different terms for it, but I'm going to call it what it is. Have a brag sheet, an ongoing brag sheet.
Yes.
Of everything that you have done.
Yes.
And then right before your annual review, print your job description, print that brag sheet, showcase how you've been doing all of it and above. And if you realize, oh shit, I'm doing 2 jobs, print up job descriptions from other companies you're doing. And hey, just help me understand. Thank you for the past 3 years. I've been able to accomplish this, exceed goals, this. But it seems like I'm also doing another job. I want to show you other competitors where they have other positions doing this. Exactly. So can we talk about how I can have a raise? Or maybe you don't even want a raise. Maybe you're just I should not be doing this job. Can we talk about how I could have another role of doing this instead? No. Okay. Well, let's talk about how we can have a raise and then decrease my responsibilities because I'm doing 2 jobs. Right. Going back to the inspire and the motivation, what I've done about challenges, going back to the original question, it's funny you're giving me that compliment, which I've received, because I was thinking about when I was starfishing on the floor crying, when I found out that I didn't receive, because I was an interim fundraising manager at Pasadena City College. So I had to apply for my own job. My boss, who I love, Bobby Abram, shout out to her. She just got a new job at Santa Barbara Community College Foundation. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so I had to interview for that job, didn't get it. So I was starfishing, crying. And then I will be honest. I mean, you know this, Lisa. There are times in my business where I'm like, what the hell? Maybe I should look for a job, or maybe I should do this. Even throughout my career, and the biggest challenge is not one moment. The biggest challenge in my life, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people could relate it, it's been a conversation I've had this past week with a lot of clients, is honoring my voice. Yeah. How am I honoring my voice at this current stage of life? 2 years ago in my business, I was burnt out because I was being caught up on what these other coaches were doing. Hold on. What do I want to do? I just want to serve. I don't need to rent a Rolls Royce and pretend that I'm like the other coaches. I just want to serve my clients and let me just have my client results speak for themselves. If you check my LinkedIn out, I have incredible results.
Yeah.
Legacy leader, I know what you're thinking. Elaine, you have such good stuff here. I want more. So if you want more tips and advice for your business, career, and life, sign up for my Gifts and Gifts newsletter at elainelu.com/join. That's J-O-I-N. And here's three things you'll get when you join, because I'm like Santa Claus. I love giving. Number one, funny gifts, because who doesn't love memes and pop culture references? This newsletter is so fetch. Number two, receive actionable gifts. That's business, career, and life tips that you can start doing today. Third, the gift of me. Not only do you get my wins, but also my failures, my reflections. My Gifts and Gifts newsletter is like an up-to-date diary. Think Zynga or Life Journal for my fellow millennials, where I share vulnerable stories, relatable mistakes, and important life tips like what to watch on Netflix, like when's the next Bridgerton season. So if you're ready for those fun gifts and actionable gifts to create a more sustainable life, then join my newsletter at elainelu.com/join. That's J-O-I-N. All right, let's get back to the episode.
And for everybody listening, one, I always say this, you don't have to do it alone if you want to advance in your career or start your own business. Get an expert. And two, ask them what their process is and how many clients have successfully followed it to achieve the results that were promised for everybody. Because coaching is, you know.
Also.
Yeah. Please add. You got another.
No, I want to add, I'm going to warn you, I'm going to make you laugh and it's going to be inappropriate, but I know you'll put the explicit E. So Lisa and I were just talking about it, but a huge problem, I will just be transparent, in this coaching industry is seeing these big names, right? And then they're all self-promoting. Like I just had a client who worked with one of them, not sharing the name. And just like, I thought this person was great. I was like, what made you think that they're great? Well, everyone was talking about them. Okay. Well, who's everyone? Well, the other names. I'm like, well, that's because they're actually doing an affiliate business model. And the question to ask is their client results and client testimonials, because the model you're seeing is a circle jerk of coaches who are just cross promoting one another. Like actually look at the results and even ask, and let's say they're not a big name that you want to hire, whatever coach, whether it's even me or Lisa, ask, hey, can I talk to one of your clients? I remember asking that from a coach that I was considering to hire. Like, oh, I don't do that. I'm like, red flag.
Big red flag.
They're not willing.
Because, yeah, there was the confidentiality issue.
Yes, yes. Agreed.
And definitely, but you know.
And we would ask our former clients for permission if they could talk, of course.
Of course. But you know what? There's the client, the potential client is not asking, what did you talk around? The potential client is asking, did you get the results you were promised? Where were you? What did you need help with? And did you get the results you were promised? You know, the potential client is not saying, oh my God, so HR saw that you got slapped at the ass by the chairman of the board and they did nothing. They're not asking those questions. By the way, that did happen to me. Not that I'm sharing it. Yeah. Anyway, so I want to ask you, Elaine, something that, you know, I think a lot of listeners would really like to hear. It's when you're having, and this is part of your teaching, when you have a conscious conversation, because you impress me as someone who is always really very clear on your highest intentions and making sure that your actions align with them. And you have a concept that you teach around called having a conscious conversation. How would any listener, how do you teach that to your clients? Can you go through that process? Because I think this is just mind-blowing and so empowering.
Well, let me first explain what conscious conversations is. So conscious conversations, just think of it as another term of difficult conversations that we often want to avoid. And so I know we're talking conscious conversations in a way of career and professional. But if we think about it personally, if you're in a relationship with your partner and something has happened, you have that conscious conversation. And then usually what happens is some like amazing lovemaking. Well, I'm not saying that's going to happen at work, but like what I'm trying to say in the personal life is when you have that conscious conversation with your partner or romantic partner, you end up having this common understanding of one another. Like, oh, that's why they react the way they do. They were raised this way, or I didn't see it from their perspective. So I just want to share that personal analogy because it kind of helps with work. So with work, it's, before even having the conscious conversation, I just want to make sure you are asking that question once again, going back to psychological safety. Do you even feel safe enough to ask this question or this goal to this other person. Like, I'm working with a client right now. He does not feel safe around his boss. His boss is the, oh my God, I'm such a good ally, but just does not have great behaviors of it. And he knows that if he were to give feedback, he would be gaslit.
Yeah.
So he does not have that conversation with her. So I'm not saying you need to have it all the time. Like, you think people are going to change all the time. Just ask yourself if you're safe. If you do feel safe enough, then it is being able to frame the question where you're asking so you could better understand the other person. Or if you want to even give them feedback, like, hey, I want to give you feedback. When you did state this at a meeting, it actually came off as a microaggression, and this is why. And I just want to share that with you so you could work on it. Like, I remember when I was at this job, and I was working with a consultant, and every single time I did a good job, he would say, like, oh, good girl. He was like, good girl. I'm like, yeah, oh, exactly your reaction. That's how I felt in my body. I felt that in my body, but I didn't show it. I hope I had a really good poker face. I don't know. And I told my boss, who I respected, like, hey, I just want to let you know, dick. That's not his name. That's not his real name, but we're going to use this name.
Yes, we are. Yes. It does fit him.
I just want to let you know that Dick would always say good girl when I do something great, and it's just condescending and makes me feel like a dog. And he was like, okay. And then my boss didn't do anything about it. Well, at the same time, I know that my boss at the time is not responsible for providing that feedback. And I reflected, you know what? I think I need to give him feedback.
Yeah.
So there was a meeting and a group meeting, and I just told Dick, like, hey, Dick, do you mind if you stay after? I want to talk to you about something. So everyone left, the door closed. I'm like, you know, Dick, I really appreciate you us working together. And mind you, I've never had any issues or challenges with Dick. So that's what I want to share. I felt psychologically safe with this person. So I let him know, hey, when you say, like, good girl, it comes off condescending and it makes me feel like I'm a dog. And he had this light bulb moment. He's like, oh my God, I never realized that. Whenever I worked with young women like you, I would give that compliment, or I thought it was a compliment. And mind you, that's another step, being unattached to the result and the response. That is another step.
Which is important, right?
Yeah. And so he took the feedback. He said, thank you. And he stopped saying it. And at the time, I want to say he was in his 60s when I gave this feedback to him. But what that made me realize, like, oh my God, he's what, had a career for 40 years? He's obviously worked with other women. He's said this before, and no one has shared this with him. And I was probably the first one that shared that with him, and he's changed that behavior. Like, it was actually eye-opening, the importance of having a conscious conversation, right, of being direct with someone if you feel psychologically safe with someone.
Right. And that is the criteria. But how interesting, though, that you were able, once you knew, okay, I can have this conversation, to say it. And that kind of speaks to all our listeners. If you do feel psychologically safe and you make a comment, you can make things better, not only for yourself, but for every woman following after you. Because here's a 60-year-old guy who thought he was doing something supportive. And until he was told, he didn't realize how it really sounded, how it really did. So for many women who might be listening at this point, I know a lot of us, and I've fallen into this too, where it's like, I'm tough. I can handle it. I'm just going to brush it off. I'm just going to make a comment like, oh, dude, that's a stupid comment. But when you can actually say something and make a difference for every woman coming after you, kind of empowers all of us to go ahead and say that thing we're a little uncomfortable saying. But to Elaine's point, if you don't feel psychologically safe, there's no upside. Yeah, there's no upside.
I also want to share the opposite end of it too, when I have received it, because I'm not perfect. So I've said things. So when I notice someone gives me feedback or has the conscious conversation with me, like, and that I'm actually receiving it and I agree, because there are times when people give me feedback and I don't agree with them.
So of course.
I'm like, I often just reply, thank you for feeling safe enough to share this feedback with me.
What a great affirmation.
Like, I think people forget to say thank you. It's actually important, because when I've started new jobs, and even with clients now that I'm a coach, I let people know, I really want you to be direct with me mm-hmm. when you do see a challenge. If maybe because we're human, I might say something and doesn't come off right, please let me know.
So important. So let me just throw this in, because this is a question, I don't want to lose it. If you could give your younger self advice, what would you want to tell yourself?
And it goes back to the theme that we were talking about, like, hey, what do you want?
Not what do you think you should be doing, because everybody has told you that's what you should want, what you really want, and can you give yourself permission mm-hmm. to not only say, yes, I want that, and then go ask for it, whatever you need, whatever the resources do you need, the training. Yeah. Yeah. So important. So important. You have a very special offer for listeners. One, just say, how can listeners contact you? Because they're going to want to speak to you, Elaine. Just lay out the easiest way they can reach you. And then I want to talk about your special gift.
Yeah. So if you want to reach me, find me on LinkedIn. So I know that you spelled it out earlier, but just in case, it's going to be in the show notes as well. So just know that. Click on the link. So it's Elaine Lou Cartas. So it's E-L-A-I-N-E. And then Lou, L-O-U, and then Cartas, C-A-R-T-A-S. So contact me there. Our conversation's pretty much very similar to my own podcast. So look up Business and Career Real Talk in any streaming platform. So that's how you can find me.
Oh, so please share this gift that, I mean, this is priceless. Talk about the gifts that you're offering.
So if you are possibly interested in wanting to work with me, I always do a complimentary call. So if you want to schedule a career audit call with me where we look at your goals and challenges and I give you at least 3 aligned actions towards your career, you could schedule a call with me at elainelou.com/call. That's ELAINELOU.com/call.
That is one of the biggest gifts, because we know so many times, and we talked about this before we actually started recording, there are many people out there who are calling themselves coaches who have no real leadership coaches who have no real leadership experience. Let me just call it out. And I see that a lot. Yeah. And I know that you were in positions where you led teams, you were responsible for big budgets. I mean, and you know, anybody who is good at cold calling, God, my hat's off to them. But you have been in very important leadership roles. And we know a lot of coaches, when you get on a call with them, it's kind of nice and you walk away and go, well, what did I get? But to walk away from a call and to actually have 3 action steps that you can actually start making the change and creating a difference and understanding what it is you really want to do with your life. Oh my God. I just thank goddess. That's all I can say. if there was one message that you really wanted listeners to understand from our conversation today, what would that message be?
You get to define your own definition of success and happiness, and be okay that it will continuously evolve.
Yeah. So if I would paraphrase that, it's stop the self-judgment. Oh my gosh, we haven't talked about the inner critic, the little voice that shows up at the most inopportune
time. The itty bitty shitty committee. That's what I call it.
That's the one. That's the one. I mean, some people refer to it as imposter syndrome, which is kind of a subset. But I want to share with all listeners, if you suffer from imposter syndrome, guess what? You're a high achiever, because that voice wouldn't be so loud and cranky unless you were a perfectionist driving yourself to always over-deliver. So let's acknowledge that. So what did you call it? The itty bitty shitty committee?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. So
when not my term. Do not coin it for me. It's from someone else. I have no idea who it is, but thank you for the Googler's term.
that is awesome. So let's just talk about that for a minute, because we all have that voice. Some of us much louder than others. I've got the feedback loop. And wow, how do you coach clients around that?
Yeah. I mean, also not a therapist, right? So if it's like you want to get rid of it, then definitely work with a therapist. Go to psychologytoday.com and then you could find therapists and you could do it based off of specific things. So there's a plugin for therapy there. But for coaches, it's actually helping you to hit a goal. But I would just ask my clients, if I was working with you, like, okay, when did you start realizing that? How old were you when you started realizing that that was there, right? Yeah. Just so they know that they it's been there for a long time. And usually it's like 5 or 7 when they're young.
Yeah, okay, little, so small kids. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been there for a long time. I literally did this coaching session with a client. So it's hilarious you asked me that. So, okay, it's 5 or 7. So tell me a time when you were dealing with this and how you felt. And what did you do to honor it? And so my client, when I was doing the session, she was like, oh, well, I want to go on a trip, but I felt really nervous. I was like, okay, so is the feeling of nervous happens when you, when it shows up? Yeah. Okay, so what made you decide that you wanted to go on this trip? Well, I knew I wanted to, but I could hear like this voice of, well, you should be working. You shouldn't have to go on a trip. Whose voice is that? Oh, that's my parents. Okay, what's your voice saying into that? Well, I want to go on a trip. Okay, we'll note that. So when you go through situations, and I'm not saying your feeling's going to be nervous. It might be a different feeling.
Right.
Right? What is that feeling? Where is it in your body?
Exactly.
So it's like, okay, oh, hey, see you again. What's up? So
yeah, well, acknowledge you. Yeah.
Yeah, acknowledge it's there. What are the thoughts coming in? And then it will help pen to paper. Like literally pen to paper just helps. Like, okay, the thought is, well, you shouldn't be doing that because ABC. Okay, what voice is this? Okay, nope, that's someone else's voice. Okay, oh, this is my voice. This is what I want to do. So that's how I coach my clients to it. But I will say, I went to therapy in it because it was really hard for me to distinguish, like, which one is my voice? I don't know. And honoring it. So there is a lot of healing I had to do. So just wanted to be transparent.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of healing all of us need to do. And for listeners who are going, well, do I need a coach? Do I need a therapist? The ICF definition is coaches help people who are functioning reach an even higher level of functioning and fulfillment. Whereas psychiatrists, therapists, psychologists are really helping people deal with things that happened in the past that are keeping them from really functioning in the present. So, you know, for those of us who want to advance in our careers, this is something you could talk to Elaine about, especially someone on her level, because she has got so many tools and so many processes, and she did this herself. She ascended the leadership ladder. So for anybody listening who's thinking about a coach, get an expert and also ask, what's the process? Who else have you helped? What are the results? And got any clients I can speak to? Those are all legitimate questions before you pay, you know, the price of admission to get a coach. I have a coach and I have a therapist and they have their own
trifecta.
Thank goodness, right? Thank goodness. So Elaine, you've got 2 classes, one about to launch and one you're already launching. Just talk about the motivation for creating your classes on LinkedIn Learning, because I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And just talk about your process and what listeners could expect if they wanted to take either one of those classes.
Yes. So the LinkedIn Learning course that's out live right now, maybe the second one will be out by the time this goes live. I am not sure. One is called Using AI to Make a Career Switch. And then the second one is called Identity Crisis, How to Realign Your Career with Your Life. I will say that the process comes from my personal experience and how I've been able to help my hundreds of clients go through it. As a lot of people are familiar with, during the recession, there was a great resignation. Right. People quit their jobs and who quit their jobs because they hated it and they want to even completely change industries or even start their own business.
Yeah.
But the pandemic was real. At the same time, it also kind of gave us a gift being stuck in our walls of like, what do I want? Who am I? Yeah. Right. We were talking about identity crisis earlier. So I actually give you steps, right? Similar to what I've shared in this podcast episode. So I kind of did like a little appetizer here of like, what is your holistic life? Like, look at the different parts of it. How do you want your life to look like? And then if you want to explore a different industry or job, what steps you can do. So I talk about looking at your network, doing informational interviews. It's what I did when I wanted to get out of politics and go into the nonprofit sector and make my first 6 figures. And then how you could actually, so often I hear from people, oh my God, I want to change industries, but like my whole resume and LinkedIn is like all this. So I was like, well, you could frame and change the words according to a specific job. And I show you that process of it. And guess what? Like, you could take this course for free because there's a 30-day trial. LinkedIn will ask for your credit card. So you could take the trial. Or if you just want to buy the course, it's $24.99.
Oh my gosh. No, it should
be like
$499. So to all listeners, here's one thing you really want to get clear on. Talk with a coach who's actually experienced what it is you want to do and has gone through it themselves and has been successful at it. Those are the questions you want to be asking.
Yeah.
So important. And you have. I mean, I've been through your LinkedIn profile. I've been on your website. I see your methodology and you've got one. And I am very process oriented. And you are very clear in your process about take these steps. And this is where you, this is the destination you will arrive.
Yeah. I also want to remind people, whether it's me, Lisa, or another coach, like I will take you through these steps, ask questions. I want to remind you that you have choice and agency. So I always let my clients know, like, hey, here's my, I do a mix of coaching and consulting, because if it was true, coaching would just be all questions. So I do a mix. I'm just being transparent. I do coaching, consulting. So I remember talking to someone who wanted to work with me, and she said, I was always like the A-plus student with all the coaches I work with. And when I got on the call with her, I'm like, I don't want you to be the A-plus student working with me or any other coach. I actually want you to show up and making sure your voice is being honored. So a question I always ask going through the process with clients is, does this resonate with you or not? Yeah. And I don't want you to people please me, because this coaching is for you and not for me. And so when clients like, oh, I really don't want that, I'm like, okay, so how do you want that? Or what do you not like about it? Mm-hmm. So you have choice and agency. I want to kind of giving a history lesson. I want to remind everybody that we kind of still unfortunately live in this industrial revolution.
Yes. Yeah.
Like Ford company doing things by the clock, putting like tires in 12-hour days, like constant doing. Like American culture and capitalism has taught us to constantly be doing that. We get so tired. We're not thinking about what we want to be or do. A really beautiful book is called To Read Is Rest Is Resistance by Trisha Hershey. Oh my God. Book was transformational. But this culture, this country and society has taught us to constantly work. So we never question what is happening.
Exactly.
And that is what's happening right now. I mean, I know it's like scary. We see these movements and parades, but actually also that's what this country was also made out of too. There's also that positive of being able to speak up with our voice.
Yeah. And so I'm just going to say what the message is I'm taking away. And then I want you to add your closing thoughts. But I'm hearing that really to be in alignment with your career and your personal life, and to avoid that burnout, that desolation, that sort of numbness that comes from that, no, I'm okay. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep my head down. To prevent that burnout, you have to, one, truly honor what it is you want, understand it, not get caught up in this is what society is telling me I should want, but truly do understand it. And then use your voice as the empowering tool it can be to really speak and stand in your truth. I'd love to hear your closing thoughts, because this has been by far one of my favorite podcasts. It has been. I mean, I could talk to you for like 5 hours. I really
Well, if all of you really like this podcast episode, let Lisa know. So you already told me that I was going to come on again.
Oh, you're totally coming on again, because we have a lot more to talk about.
Yeah. Closing thoughts. You know what? I mean, I've shared a lot of tips. I know Lisa has shared a lot of tips, not just in this episode and in this podcast. It is okay if something doesn't feel good for you. Like, I actually want to remind listeners to feel in and ask yourself what you want. Like, for example, my boyfriend's like, why don't you like olives? I'm like, I hate olives. I will never like olives. I am anti-olives. It is just my thing. See, I know who I am, anti-olives. Now, didn't mean to get political in this podcast episode, but I know who I am, you know?
And you stand in your conviction. And again, I want to say, and this is something I tell my clients, what is your highest intention? Are your actions in alignment with your highest intentions? Why do you think they're not? Or what are you doing to commit to make sure that they are?
Yeah. And I'm going to be TMI right now. So, I mean, I am privileged that I do have my business. But for example, I was at the gym. I was planning to be there for an hour. I was there listening to your podcast episodes prior to hitting record for this. And I was planning to be there for an hour, but then I had cramps. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just stayed there for 30 minutes. And long and behold, Auntie Flo, aka period, came, kind of knew it. But my body just couldn't. I was just like, I just don't want to. And that's how I honored myself, like a small little thing. So action could also be not doing.
Exactly. Giving yourself permission to say, I want a time out.
Yeah.
Which points to what you said just earlier about we're so part of that. We must be doing, 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 and doing for others. And we put ourselves and our own needs at the very back of the line. Boy, that's a topic for next time when we talk.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, my. This was my absolute pleasure. So for all listeners, find Elaine on LinkedIn. There are so many resources. It's Elaine Lou Cartas. Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, Lou, L-O-U, Cartas, C-A-R-T-A-S. You can also Google her website. Her website's on our LinkedIn profile. I mean, there are so many. It's just a wealth of resources. And I'm just really honored that you agreed to be on my podcast. And this was just an awesome episode. I mean, really, it was like so impactful.
Oh, I'm so glad. I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Until we talk again.
Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed listening to me as an interviewee where I shared my lessons, mistakes, and failures. And if you found this episode helpful, here are four things you can do if you feel called to do them. Number one, please leave a 5-star rating and review. That would mean a lot to me and my team. My team and I created this podcast for accessible education for women of color and allies. And each episode takes about 4 hours to create. It takes me 1 hour to prep and another 30 minutes to 1 hour to record. Then my team spends another 2 hours to edit and market. Number two, because I care about accessible education, share this with a friend who's going through a hard time and they need to hear from someone that made it through the breakdown to a breakthrough. Number three, don't forget to hit the follow button because when you do, it lets the interwebs know how important this podcast is to women of color and allies like you. And number four, if you would like to create and realign your career or business by your own definition, and you want to work with me, who's gone through it all, the mistakes and the successes, then schedule an introductory legacy business and career review call at elainelou.com/call. I only work with 24 clients at one time to ensure each client receives the results they deserve. So schedule that call at elainelou.com/call. That's elainelou.com/call.